Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right, good afternoon to you once again. Welcome back, and thank you very much for sticking around. You are listening to Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. It's 20 minutes now before 1. It's now time for us to ask a pastor. That segment that is dedicated to you as the listener, who can send your questions, the questions that baffle and boggle the mind, send them to us, and we'll find you a pastor. My producer has done that this week again, and this week we have the pastor, the Holy One, who's going to be giving us perspective for this week, Pastor Thabo Mlotjwa, who's answering our question for today. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me.
Pastor, our question for today is, should faith leaders be allowed to endorse specific political candidates?
Well, that is a very interesting question, especially because of the times in which we live, you know, where religious leaders hold influential positions in society, and then you've got political leaders who represent certain ideas in society. Mm. Yeah, so it's a very important question, which I think is very relevant in our times. And unfortunately, there isn't a one-word answer to say, yes, faith leaders should be allowed, or no, they shouldn't be allowed. But I think that there are things that should be taken into consideration, both by faith leaders as well as the church members, those who follow those faith leaders. I think that there are things that should be considered by all of them.
All right.
But in terms of the question says, should they be allowed? So I think let me just start by talking about that word allowed. In terms of when you say, are they allowed, then the question is, are they allowed legally, or do you mean, are they allowed religiously? Are they allowed, in terms of their faith tradition? Does their faith tradition allow them? So what I can say perhaps on that is, in terms of being allowed, I think we can agree in general that they have the freedom to do that. They have the legal freedom to do that. They, in other words, they have the right to express their views. They have the right to express what they believe, or to express what the political leaders who represent what they believe, they have a right to do that. So I want to just clarify on allowed. We'll get into the rest of the question in just a moment. So they have the right to do that. And because they have the right, the rest of the question now comes into play to say, now that they have the right to do that, should they exercise their right? In other words, what are the pros and cons for them expressing that right? I think it is a right that they have. Every individual should be free to express themselves. But our freedom of expression must not hinder someone else's freedoms. So our freedoms are limited also to other people's freedoms. But now, because they have this right, there are, and maybe let me say, there are guidelines if they should choose to express that right, and considerations for them to not express that right. So in terms of considerations for them to express their political views, I would say that there are situations where maybe political leaders represent certain ideas or certain programs which are already in line with what the religious leader and his church already believes. In such a case, a religious leader may choose to endorse or to, you know, to encourage people to vote in favor of that one. There are dangers to that, but that is one of the considerations to say this politician is already pushing an agenda which we as a community, as a faith community, are already behind.
Sorry, Fundis, forgive me for interjecting. Yes. I realize that you only touched on one aspect of all the aspects that you outlined. You only touched on one, and not the one we were actually interested in. What we are interested in is religious leaders. We hold the view as lay people that religious leaders are servants and employees of the Almighty Yah. They don't work according to the dictates of earthly government. They work, speak, and conduct themselves according to the dictates of the heavenly kingdom, and thereby dictating the laws by which they will abide. So if you're in the Republic of South Africa, for example, we don't expect ministers of religion to be putting primary and supreme the laws of the Republic. The constitution of the Republic should be secondary to the laws of the kingdom of heaven. And that is the basis of the question. Do the laws of the kingdom of heaven allow religious leaders, faith leaders, to endorse specific political candidates?
Okay. All right. No, thanks for bringing it in that way. I think now when we now look at it from that perspective, to say that does the constitution of heaven, does the law of heaven allow a religious leader to endorse a political candidate? The answer to that would be the Bible does not give that kind of direction. But what the Bible says is that God sets up kings and sets them down. And if God sets up kings and sets them down, and the man of God works for the government of heaven, then the question would be, does the man of God, can he work in cooperation with the God of heaven in setting up and setting down kings?
Okay.
So I was coming from that perspective to say that in either case, whether the man of God chooses to endorse a candidate or not, there are some considerations that should be made. Right. There are some who will say that he's, you know, the man of God has got the right to express his views, but the problem with that is that an expression of his view has got the possibility of bringing division amongst the people of God.
Right.
Because amongst the people of God are people who support one political candidate and people who support another political candidate. And so while the faith leader may have a right to express his view, he must know that whatever his view is, even if that view happens to go along with what he believes is the agenda of heaven, if he or she endorses a particular political candidate, that has got the risk of causing division amongst the members of that faith community.
There are two things now you are talking about, Mfundis, and I need you to clarify the first one. You said, even if he were to express his view, is the pastor saying the man of God is entitled and is allowed to express his view? Did I hear the pastor correctly? Is that what the pastor is saying?
That is what I'm saying. It is what I was saying at the beginning, that everybody has got a right to have an opinion or a view.
Even the man of God has got a right to have an opinion.
I believe that if a man of God is a human being, which all of us are, all human beings should have a right to an opinion. We have a right to an opinion about the happenings in this world.
I ask this, Mfundisi, in the light of the process by which Saul, the first king of Israel, was elected. The first king of Israel was not elected by way of human opinion. The same applies with the anointing of David, the second king of Israel. He was not anointed by way of the opinion of a human being. And I would move from the premise, Mfundisi, that if we accept that both these two preeminent kings were chosen by Yahweh using the prophet to anoint both of them, by the way, the man of God had no say in the matter. His opinions were actually forbidden. If we remember quite well, Prophet Samuel was given a choice of many of Jesse's sons, and he thought, the tallest one that looks good probably and just must be the one. And God said, stop it. I don't look at things the way you see things. Go look for another. And then the man of God said, okay, do you have any other? And then David came into the picture, this ruddy boy. Yeah. And that is the basis of my inquiry now, Mfundisi. Is it not possible that by virtue of you adopting the banner of heaven, when you choose to work for the government of heaven, you no longer speak for your own jacket? Your opinions don't matter. Quite frankly, your opinions are frowned upon.
All right. Now, I'm glad you brought up those examples, because when the prophet of God thought that the other sons of Jesse were more fitting to be kings,
right,
that was his opinion.
Yes.
That is what I'm saying. I'm saying that you can have an opinion. All right. Now, remember that when this happened, it was a theocracy where God was directly directing the affairs of the nation of Israel. It's a theocracy.
Right.
We are no longer under a theocracy. And now God may use other forms to direct the affairs of nations or even of organizations. It is not long ago that we as a world church were involved in an exercise where leaders were elected.
Right.
That was called a democratic representative process.
Right.
Now, we believe that is not a theocracy, but God is still in charge. God still uses that process. That is why when the Bible says that it is God who sets up kings and puts them down, it doesn't have to be a theocracy. Even if it's a democratic process, God can use that process to set up kings and set them down. Now, when I say that the man of God has a right to an opinion, I am not therefore suggesting that his opinion is flawless, because the man of God is not God.
Yeah.
Remember that Samuel comes with his own opinion, but then he submits his opinion to the dictates of God. All right? So now that there is some democratic process and the will of God is not in black and white for us to see, we then rely on the man of God to say, does the man of God have an opinion?
That's the issue. That's the issue there, Mfundisi, that I'm bothered by. I need you to clarify. In the case of Samuel, Prophet Samuel, and the anointing of both Saul and David, God frowned upon the opinions of Samuel coming into play. Yes, he had opinions, but God frowned upon those. He corrected them. He gave him a slap on the wrist every time he demonstrated a will to show his opinion. I'm not quite sure how the pastor is suggesting that his opinion, the man of God, is therefore allowed to, and yet God did not allow Samuel to do that. And as far as a theocracy is concerned, during Saul, David, Solomon, and all of those, it was not a theocracy. It was a theonomy, but not a theocracy. And that's how they were able to turn away from the will of God. While the will of God was the standard, it was not always the law. A theocracy is when the will of God is the law every time. They have their own laws, which we have seen creeping up and sometimes deposing the will and the ways of God.
Okay, maybe let me just go back to the statement that when God did not agree with the prophet's opinion, that was God disallowing. Now, I don't believe that that is correct. I don't believe that God was disallowing the prophet from having an opinion.
Are you still there, Pastor?
The prophet was not.
Oh, okay. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can, sir. I can. Go ahead.
All right. All right. I was saying that now when God was not agreeing with Samuel's opinion, I do not believe that that means that God was disallowing him from having an opinion.
Okay.
In other words, if Samuel had gone to Jesse and had looked at the sons of Jesse,
right,
and Samuel himself had said, no, I don't think this one, is there not another one? And then Samuel himself finally lands on David, I believe that God would have confirmed that choice, even though it may have been the opinion of Samuel. So in other words, the reason why God disagreed with Samuel, it was not for God to say, Samuel, you shall not have an opinion. But God was saying, no, Samuel, your opinion is not in agreement with mine.
Okay.
So we are going to be yes. So I'm saying that now today, how do we know if the man of God is speaking on behalf of God? Because if you have two men of God and they have two different opinions,
right,
how do we know whose opinion represents God's, the opinion of God on the matter? So because of that, we cannot have a guarantee that the man of God's opinion, therefore, and I'm careful here to use the word opinion, because God has not spoken to the man of God, as far as we know. God has not said to Pastor whoever, Pastor X, to say, Pastor X, Minister so-and-so must become the next member of parliament or the next president of the nation.
Right.
We do not know that God has said that. Therefore, whatever the man of God says about, you know, political or politicians, that is his opinion.
Right.
And because it may be divisive and it may or may not represent the will of God, because we do not know what the will of God is in terms of who should be elected and so forth.
In that very same example, Mfundis, we did see the election of David, in spite of the fact that it was God ordained and God appointed and anointed, it was divisive. The nation was divided between those who follow Saul and his house and those who follow David. It took a couple of years, I think about 8 or 9 years, if I'm not mistaken, for David to gain control of the entire nation, because some people were still following the house of Saul, in spite of the fact that Saul had died and his children had died. And so we see David ruling only part of the nation. So in spite of the fact that God had nominated and appointed and anointed David, there was a division there. So my question is, should we really be afraid of a division? If we know, even when it is still the will of God, there are still divisions in the will of God.
Yes. So now that is in a case where we are sure what the will of God is. When we are sure what the will of God is and division happens, it is okay for that division to happen.
Right.
And then those that stand with God, stand with God. And
right.
those that
right.
do not stand with God, do not stand with God.
Right.
But in that case, we are sure what God's will is.
Right.
But in our current, you know, political environments, we may not, that this is definitely God's will. And so the division of people may be needless. Now you've got a faith community that has been divided over an issue that, you know, we really don't even know what God's will was.
Right.
And so in that case, it is not therefore
yeah.
wise for a faith leader to endorse.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a right to. He could.
Yeah.
He has a legal right to, according to the laws of the land, but in terms of his moral authority and his leadership of a faith community, it seems that that would bring about needless division in his community, his faith community.
Okay, I hear you loud and clear, beautifully put. Thank you very much, Vanessa. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to the rest of the week. It promises to be a very eye-opening conversation. Have a blessed day further, Vanessa. See you again tomorrow.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.